You have to try this.
Okay, just a bite.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Social Takeout.
Small bites of social discussion. Our opening plug to go rate, review, and subscribe goes here. Oh. So,
yeah, so I definitely wrote that. So please go do that on all the things, Apple Podcasts.
She did this on purpose. Just screw me up, guys.
Facebook, absolutely.
All right, so today we're talking about sex work, and we have a really special guest, Mike Raylan.
Thanks for agreeing to be on our podcast.
No problem. Glad to be here.
Okay, so this is quite the incendiary topic, and we wanted to ask you before we continue, what term do you prefer for this type of work?
I always just say that I'm an escort, like if anybody, or like for the people that I tell, you know, it's not, that's escort. It seems to be the easiest term.
Okay, cool. So let's talk about what brought us to this topic. I don't have personal experience with it, except that I know a lot of artists and opera singers, dancers, who have been escorting during young artist programs that I've been a part of. And so usually it's like for a number of reasons, but mainly because they weren't making enough money during these young artist programs. But what brought you to escorting?
It just seemed like, so I started doing it when I was in grad school, and it, I think it's the same. It's just like a really easy, fast way to make money. Mm-hmm. You know, like I could go work 60 hours at a minimum wage job, or I could like escort three times and make the same amount of money in a week.
Yeah,
so since like Sarai does not have any experience in this, I actually wanted to ask you your opinion on if what I did when I was young and wild, would that fall under sex work? Because, so I lived in London for some time and I was broke as F. I couldn't pay rent, things like that. And there was this younger, not older gentleman that paid my rent a lot of the times. I did not actually have sex with this person. We did make out, but he just took it upon himself to sort of take care of me for some time. Like he paid my rent. He would buy me drinks, send me gifts. I'm sure the idea was eventually maybe wanted to have sex, but that never happened. Mike, would you consider that to be sex work?
I have had clients that, I think that I would. Because not all clients want sex. You know, I have plenty of clients that I've never had sex with.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Interesting.
I am so happy.
So I was totally wrong. I was like, that's not sex work, Jeremy. Like, that's not escorting.
You I'm like, don't take this away from me.
Okay.
So let's talk about what we mean when we say sex works awry.
Yeah, okay. So sometimes people think of a really dark side to this sort of industry, which is like all sorts of trafficking and like things involving children. And of course, very clearly, trafficking is obviously bad, and we'll post links in the description for resources to utilize if you suspect someone of being trafficked or if you just see something weird. So what we're talking about is adults who have chosen on their own accord to go into this work. So let's talk about what we each think of escorting or sex work. Okay, so I don't personally think sex work is morally wrong. I think if an adult person decides that this is what they want to do, what they enjoy doing, and think it's their best option, and like make an informed and coerced decision, then that's great. And there are even arguments about how sex work can benefit women. There's a link below, of course. However, it is my opinion that there are some people who cannot give consent, like children or people suffering from addiction and abuse, and that there is a really high potential for all sex workers to be targeted by bad people.
Well, it is the oldest profession in the world. And I don't think it, I don't really like think of it in general. I mean, I do believe that it should be legalized and taxed. Does that make sense?
In some places it's legal, but like...
Exactly, yeah.
Mike, we really want to hear more from like your perspective.
It's funny that you bring up about being taxed, because when I told one of my friends that I started doing it, she was like, how are you going to declare that on your taxes? Like, that was her number one concern. Not that I had started doing it, but how was I going to declare it on my taxes?
Exactly.
Speaking of that, so Mike, you are in the U.S.
That's correct.
Can I ask you, you don't have to tell me what city you're in, but what region are you located in the U.S.?
So I am no longer an active escort.
Okay.
But when I was active, I was doing it in the Midwest.
In the Midwest.
Oh.
Nice. And can I ask you, what is the legalities around sex work in that region?
So it is illegal.
Okay.
But I never felt like threatened, you know, about like, I guess I never really felt nervous about being arrested mm-hmm. or anything like that. You know, there's ways you like phrase things that make it technically not illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it was illegal what I was doing.
All right. So that's like all kinds of sex work is just period illegal in this area that you're from.
I believe so. You know, to be honest, I never really looked it up. I just
right.
I just started doing it and that was...
So then I have a completely unrelated off-topic question about this. So like, are all of your clients when you were doing this men, or would you also have women?
I only ever had male clients. I got some inquiries about female client or from women clients.
Mm-hmm.
But I never felt like, so since I am gay, I'm not bisexual at all. Like I didn't feel like because the women like were specifically looking for sex. I didn't really feel like that was something that I could give them.
So Jeremy, are you going to start your escorting business?
As long as there's no women, I guess. Oh, so it's interesting about the whole legality. So I'm from Canada, your lovely neighbors up north. So current laws on sex work was introduced by the Conservative government in 2014. So it makes it illegal to purchase or advertise sexual services in Canada. Now, activities related to sex work that are prohibited by law include like operating a brothel. Being found even in such an establishment is illegal too. And even communicating, advertising such services in public places is illegal as well. So there's this sort of weird way they've actually made it legal. At the same time, it's also really super difficult to do it legally as well, because you can actually be an escort. They consider that like professional services.
Mm-hmm.
And use telephone and internet and email for communication purposes. But at the same time, you cannot advertise yourself as an escort. Mm. So it's this weird world that Canada runs around when it comes to sex services.
Sure. So the site that I was advertising on, I mean, it wasn't technically an escorting site. It was like a modeling site.
Uh-huh.
Ah, interesting. Yeah, and one other rule issue we have in Canada, I don't know if it's the same in America, foreign nationals cannot work in the sex industry. So this like includes like erotic dance, erotic massages, escort services as well. I don't know if that's the same in the U.S. at all.
I have no idea.
Like you have to be a citizen
that's
in
weird.
Canada to be able to do it.
In Germany, you can get a whole visa to be an escort or really a sex worker, like a prostitute here.
It's like super legal here though, right?
Yeah, it's very, very regulated.
Yeah.
But so like back to the thing you were saying about Canada making it essentially illegal to purchase
mm-hmm.
sex, but legal to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
Norway did this in 2009 to actually cut down on trafficking, because like for a long time they had girls like 14, maybe being the youngest, being arrested for being prostitutes. And it's like, okay, you can't actually have an underage prostitute. Like, that's called trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have an underage escort. That's like not a thing. So their whole like culture sort of had to change around it being like, okay, it's illegal to buy, but it's legal to sell, you know? We can get into like the really specific things about this later, like on our Instagram Live when we're just talking about it. But it's really interesting. You should go, everyone should go read this link and article that's in the description. But Mike, so you're not currently working as an escort. Do you think that it's something you'll get back into at some point?
Probably not. So, you know, with the state of the pandemic, especially here in the United States, and being an opera singer, like, I know that COVID cannot be that bad, but, like, there is a chance that I could sustain, like, severe lung damage if mm-hmm. I were to contract it. And that's not really something that I want to happen, since my career is not even, like, getting going yet. You know, I'm just, like, about to enter academia. And then also, I'm in a monogamous relationship, and he and I have talked about it a lot, and he mm-hmm. would prefer that I not return to it. So I'm happy to not return to it.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think, in your opinion, from your experience, how do you think the pandemic has actually affected the sex work industry right now?
So at the beginning of the pandemic in the Midwest, I was still seeing clients.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think that in a sense, it really made it boom a little bit more. You know, people were lonely, people were. But it's just not, like, worth the risk to me, you know, like, the extra money, like, I mean, money is nice, but longevity would be better, I think.
Exactly. Yeah, like, not dying is even better. But, like, I totally think there's something to what you're saying about, like, the beginning of the pandemic making everyone super lonely, because, like, my Instagram just, like, blew up with messages from men just like, hey, where are you? Like, where are you from? Like, can we be friends? And I'm like,
dick pic.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
Just scrolling through.
Definitely there's something to that, for sure.
The pandemic, so I was reading this article about how the pandemic affected sex workers in Canada. So when the pandemic first hit, establishments such as, you know, strip clubs, even massage parlors and escort agencies were forced to close. And independent escorts were constrained from offering sexual services in their work studios or own homes. So some of them were able to transfer their work sort of online in a way, but not everyone was able to do that. Like sex scams.
You can't see my face, Mike, but I'm like, what? How?
You put a camera in front.
I got it now.
We both do it in a way. Like, not the sex work part, but the live streaming part.
Yes, we both live stream singing, not... Yeah. I mean, look, on the one app that I was live streaming on, Mike, they, like, totally banned my videos for too much cleavage. Ugh. So,
yeah.
Yes, like, and I just had on a regular top, so I don't think I could get, you know, cleaning naked past them or something like that.
Yeah, and I was live on it one day, and she, like, bent over. It's like, hi, guys. I'm like, don't get me banned. Like, get away from my camera.
Hilarious.
That's really funny. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. One of the biggest problems, so in Canada, we actually, during the pandemic, we had this corona money in a way.
It was like a grant.
It's like a grant, like a monthly salary the government was giving. But in order for that...
Yeah, I know. It's some bullshit over here. It's amazing.
I totally banked on it. But the thing is, you have to have made a certain amount of money the previous year, like, pay taxes to it. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people working in the sex industry did not get it.
Oh, like here. Okay.
Because they didn't tax it.
But so the thing is like, here it's legal and they could pay taxes if they wanted to.
Yeah.
You know, but I guess they were doing it under the table. I don't know.
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Should we get into some fun questions?
Oh, sorry. We lost an earbud. Okay. So you talked about how you got into it, like, needing not quick money, but, like, not wanting to work 60 hours a week when you could just do, like, 3 jobs, you know. Mm-hmm. But was there something more? Like, did you find it sort of, I don't want to say sexy, but, like, alluring or, like, romanticized in any way?
So the way that, like, I I got into it. So I, around Christmas last year, so about a year ago, I like a typical like gay guy, I was just like trolling on Grindr.
And the city have an episode about that.
And the city I was living in, you know, it's a pretty small scene, so like you get used to like seeing the same people that you don't want to hook up with all the time.
Yeah.
And
been there.
So there's a new person, like, and I like messaged him and we ended up hooking up and we were like talking, and I know very irregular afterwards, but you know, like, and it turns out like he's actually a porn star. I had just never heard of him before.
Oh.
And he was in town visiting his family because that's where he's from. Mm-hmm. And he was saying like, oh, like it was like, he was like saying he enjoyed like being with somebody like when he wasn't being paid, because and he has clients like lined up his whole trip. And I was like, what? You have clients? And he was like, and he was an escort as well as being like a porn actor. And he's actually like a computer engineer, like, okay. In real life. In real life.
He just sounds so sexy right now.
So, and you know, we're still friends, you know, like every mm-hmm. time he would come back to the city, we'd see each other, like. And so he was the one that got me started. Like, he showed me the site to use and like taught me all the terminology and things like that. Mm-hmm. So it was sort of random that I ended up sort of falling into that work.
Interesting.
Okay.
Can I ask you, what do you love most about escorting?
Huh.
Except the money aside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Sarai will tell you, like, I have a very strong, like, empathetic side. Like, I feel empathy about many things.
Yeah.
And
what is the secret thing going on here?
Don't worry about it.
And, like, so I was telling Sarai when she asked me to do it, I don't know that I had the typical escort experience. You know, like, I wasn't being, like, people weren't demanding that I like come and like do them and like leave. People really like, they wanted to talk, you know, like and that is what I found really rewarding, is like being able to like give like human contact to somebody that otherwise wouldn't get it. You know, I have like massaged and made out with like many men that I normally like wouldn't even look at once, you know, never mind mm-hmm. twice. So,
yeah.
not to be mean, but you know, like in the gay community, there is such a stigma about like attractiveness and like physicality that a lot of men struggle to like feel like they're getting any attention or physical contact at all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome, though. Yeah, that you're able to give that sort of attention to them.
Because literally it keeps me up at night. I'm like, does everyone have a friend? Like, does everyone have someone, like, a person, you know?
Yeah. Especially during this pandemic, like, it can be extremely lonely.
Yeah, so that's really interesting to hear that that's, like, the part you really enjoyed most, but, like, totally, that's definitely you.
I mean, and that's how I advertise myself as, like, I think my headline was something different.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I am strong and I'm like in decent shape, but I think my
that is like the understatement of like the year for really? Sure.
Well, thank you, but like compared to like other people on the site, like I am really not like marketable.
Lies.
I mean, I even had a client once. I only saw him once because he was from Texas, but he literally just, he booked me for 2 hours and he just wanted me to like hold him. He didn't want me to talk to him. He just, I held him for 2 hours. Like I was the big spoon for 2 hours.
Aww.
No talking.
Yeah.
It was the longest 2 hours of my life.
There's actually a cuddle service in Canada.
Really?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
There's actually
Canada. A cuddle service.
Yeah. Like, they would, you can select who you want to cuddle with, and they'll come to your house and cuddle you for an hour or how much ever you book them for. Just cuddling. Mm-hmm. And they leave.
Okay, but so is that only for men?
Men, like, and men women. And men? Men and women, both. But it's all men that actually do the cuddling.
Okay.
Yeah, but women book them, men book them, sexuality is not a thing. They're all interested in everything. It's because it's not supposed to be a sex thing. It's just human physical connection, cuddling.
Okay, Mike, what percentage do you think of this cuddling service is escorting?
I mean, having been like an escort, I can believe that it's probably at least 85% just cuddling.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Because I will say the actual like amount of physical sex that I had was probably less than a quarter of my clients.
Wow.
Okay. So, okay. So you talk about like the empathy, like really giving someone some like emotional support or like even just like physical support that's non-sexual being what you liked most about it, but what did you dislike about this type of work?
There was only one time that I really disliked the work.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, so there's two, and it was maybe my third booking. So he had booked me for a massage, and so that was fine. And he was being very sketchy. He was like, meet me in this parking lot and you'll get in my car. And I was like, no, I'll stay in my own car, but I'll follow you to wherever you want me to go.
Right.
So we got to his house and like, I was giving him a massage and then he wanted to give me a massage. And it was like a really awful massage. Like he was not very good at it. But you know, I was like in character and I was like, oh yeah, like, right there. Like, oh yeah.
And you're like, oh, that feels so good.
Just wait till the next story, because oh my goodness. Okay. And he was like, and it feels really good, and you're getting paid to be here, and that was like such like a turnoff because it like kills the fantasy. Like I was like, why would you want to be reminded that you were paying for somebody to be here? Like,
oh my god,
that's on you. You know.
Do you feel like that was a sort of a fetishization in a way, that he liked that idea that, oh, I'm paying someone? Was that part of his role?
I think that he did. And he never booked me again, but also his wife.
Oh my god.
Oh my gosh, I saw quite a few.
This gets worse.
His wife was away, which is why he could book me. And then I know she was supposed to go away in February, but then I think she didn't because of the pandemic.
Okay.
So I think I would have booked him again, or he would have tried to book me again, but I don't know that I would have taken the booking.
You're like, I don't want these massages.
And then the other thing, so one of my most regular clients, I felt like he was getting too attached.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And I really, he was...
Wait, but what does too attached mean?
So he would text me a lot. Long like text messages, so he saw a therapist, and I was not the only escort he saw between two and three of us a week.
Oh wow. Okay.
Oh wow.
So one he saw just for sex, he saw me for companionship, and then he would book like any sort of the visiting escorts in the area, just to book them.
Who has money for this?
Well, I know many escorts will accept mm-hmm. PayPal or like Cash App or Venmo. Mm-hmm. So he could be charging.
Oh, the escort. I see. Okay, okay.
But credit card. I would always take cash.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he was getting like really clingy and I really, like, I started to feel, like, a lot of pity for him. And I, like, didn't really know what to do. I felt sort of trapped. Like, my empathy was, like, no, you can't, stop seeing him, like, because he is so, he has a lot of psychological problems. I was, like, I didn't know what he would do.
Mm-hmm.
My God. That's, like, a horrible situation to be in.
Yeah.
A lot of my clients that I got to know, like, I actually genuinely became, like, attracted to them in some way. Like, I tried to find something that I found attractive about them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that like heightened the fantasy, like it made it easier for me. But with him, like because of this pity factor, like I really did not find anything attractive about him. I was like, it was really a struggle. And he was, he's in his 50s, I think, maybe his 60s. He's not a very handsome man.
Shut up, Jeremy. You should see the look Jeremy just gave
me. She said, ugh. I'm like, this is totally your type.
60 is way too old. Excuse me. By 5 years.
I know, your husband's almost 60.
He was not very experienced, so like any sexual things we ever did was not very pleasurable. Like, he really liked... to be dominated, so I would like often just like pin him down on the bed, so I like so he wouldn't be able to do anything to me.
Sarai, stop touching yourself.
And then we got in a fight, like in an argument, like he rated me, he left me a 4-star rating, like after a visit, and I messaged him and I was like, what was going on? He was like, well, you know, like we didn't do the X, Y, and Z, and I was like, well, I had you pinned to the bed and you didn't tell me you wanted to do X, Y, and Z. You have to communicate with somebody when you're having sex with them. And he was like, you do? And I was like, yeah.
Oh my God.
I was like, how the hell am I supposed to know? Like,
every man ever.
I know. Jesus.
So, now, since you have some experience in this industry, would you be able to give some sort of advice who's like a newbie in the industry, who's trying to get into the sex work?
Advice?
What would your advice be?
What would my advice be?
Stay away from this.
I know, exactly. Person. Like, don't get corona. Stay home.
Oh, God, yeah.
I know. I think it would be just to make sure that you always feel, like, proud of the work you're doing. Like, after that booking where I sort of felt degraded a little bit, I was really a little bit more careful about bookings that I took.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So but how do you even know, like, until you meet the client, like, what they're like?
Well, you never see a picture of the client ahead of time.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
That's terrifying.
Because a lot of clients will ask you about doing, like, things, and you know, you think like, oh, I'm an escort, like I should do whatever they want, but you know, you really don't have to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So sort of, I'm hearing like have a clear boundary sort of idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have to fall into this trap of like, oh, I have to do everything because I'm getting paid for it.
That's correct.
So you mentioned that you're in a relationship now and that your partner doesn't, or he would be happy if you didn't do it again, but do you miss it at all?
I do not miss it at all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really enjoying this monogamous relationship, like this whole like boyfriend and boyfriend, and like I love it. Like I couldn't be happier. I mean, any relationship that I've ever had has always, like in the Midwest, like I don't know what the water, like it's in the water, like nobody wants a monogamous relationship.
Whatever's in that water is in Berlin's water too.
I know. It's all mixed up.
It's all like open relationships.
And so like I tell the, like, so it really didn't matter to them that I was escorting. Of course I told them.
Mm-hmm.
But like to them it didn't really matter because I wasn't, like we weren't together.
Yeah, they weren't interested in a relationship.
Can I ask you a question about dating?
Sure.
So when you're actually meeting someone for the first time and you let them know that, hey, this is what I used to do for a living, have you ever had any situation where the person's like either against it or does not want to date you because you were an escort? Or is it the opposite reaction? Like, oh my God, I'm dating an escort. This is hot.
So, I usually tell them on the first date or so, like,
get it out of the way.
Yeah. Just get it out of the way. And they're always very grateful that I've told them, because, My boyfriend right now, like, he was like, what? Like, he was saying, like, what is wrong with you that you are still single? And I was like, I don't know. And then I told him, and he was like, aha! So he got very pensive, and he thought about it. Mm-hmm. And of course, I wasn't at the time. And, you know, we've talked about it 3 or 4 times since, and so the last chat we had, he said that he thinks he would prefer me not continue mm-hmm. to do it. And I understand, like, I could have started up again, you know, but I really don't want to, because I think this mm-hmm. relationship is more important.
Yeah. Oh, that's a really good place to be in. Okay, so I think we're going to end the main feed here, and we're going to switch to our Patreon. And Mike, I want you to tell us about your craziest escorting experience.
Yes. All right, I can't wait to hear it. And guys, like always, follow us on Instagram, follow us on Facebook. Mm-hmm. We may have a TikTok account coming very soon that we actually working
yes,
on.
Yes, yeah, well... Maybe.
Too many things going on for now.
Yeah.
But do follow us on Patreon as well, so we can get some more juicy stories
absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right.
Okay. Bye.